Between the words that are spoken and the words that are heard, come, Holy Spirit, and be present. Amen. Good morning, everybody. It is nice to be back in Rome. I was last here in August, during a time the rector was not. And so it's actually quite a joy to be here at the same time as my colleague. Austin, thank you for welcoming me here back to St. Paul's. If I may, I just want to recall for you one verse of the readings you've heard this morning from that very first reading. These words from the prophet Isaiah: I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? There is something unsettling about today's readings. It's almost as though they were sent along just as we were getting a little complacent about Lent, and just maybe as we were quietly giving up on that Lenten discipline that we had so eagerly launched off on back on Ash Wednesday. I wonder, what was that for you? Did you give up something this year? Or did you take on something this year? Or did you maybe give up the idea of taking on yet more somethings this year? What sort of discipline did you choose for this season of preparation? The sort of preparation that involves repenting and reconciling. I recently learned that one of the towers in the great west front of the cathedral in Rennes, France, that beautiful cathedral that Monet painted again and again and again, one of those towers is known as the Butter Tower. And can you imagine why? It is because the way they raised the money for it was to sell indulgences to the faithful people so that they could have butter during Lent. I wonder how much money we could raise here if we sold off to you the favor of being allowed to have olive oil during Lent. You all give up olive oil, right? You don't? There goes my tower project. Oh. Each of the teachings that we heard this morning, you can hear as assuring or as disturbing. Maybe because we are in the midst of dangerous days, I am managing to hear the assuring words as somewhat unsettling. Downtrodden, exhausted people have long heard these words from Isaiah, proclaiming God's new creation as the best possible news. Heaven knows we need to be renewed and restored. But when you think of all the new things that we have experienced in recent years, it is enough to wonder how much we really want to welcome the idea of another new thing. 2 years ago now, COVID was a new thing. Lockdowns were a new thing. Keeping apart and wearing masks and not being able to see each other's faces, all of that was a new thing. And while the pandemic got us to do some new things, these cameras and these speakers and all that we do now to bring our message out into the world, well, let's face it, the things that we learned to do, the things that we learned about ourselves, they're good, but they came at an enormously high cost. More recently, the new thing has been the catastrophe of an ongoing war in Europe. One that still threatens to expand even wider. It has been the disaster of 10 million people fleeing from their homes, 4 million of them now here with us in the European Union. It has been the very real threat that the peace of all of Europe, that prize so diligently worked for by almost four generations of people, all of that might be shattered by yet another authoritarian bent on dominance and threatened by democracy. I am not sure that I am up for one more new thing. Of course, the sort of thing Isaiah is talking about isn't a novel virus or a new war. A new war is only just the most recent expression of the oldest human virus, that same diseased idea of settling conflicts with violence that led Cain to kill Abel. No, what Isaiah is talking about is the idea that God is not yet done working in the world, that we have not yet seen the last of God's new ways of bringing about renewal and restoration. The limit of our imagination is only the beginning of God's creativity. St. Paul saw that. He saw that the way God had worked in the world, a way that once had been very new, the idea of a chosen nation, the creation of a covenant code that drew up laws for a relationship between us and God, he saw that that new way had become old. He saw that it had been replaced by something totally new, something so profound that it swept away all that had been brought into place by the old ways. It was so dramatic that it changed the way our relationship with God worked, changed the way our whole salvation was worked out. It was not now a question of law, but of faith. Not of our capacity to obey, but of our capacity to believe. The people around Jesus saw this too. They saw that God was doing something new in the world. They were astonished by a lot of what they saw happening around Jesus. They didn't entirely understand it, and they weren't always sure what to make of it. But they understood that something new had come into the world. Lazarus was alive. And he wasn't the only prisoner of death who had been brought to life again. Sick people, outcast people, despairing people, rejected people, people who had known all of the little deaths that we deal to each other, all of them came alive again when Jesus engaged with them. They were so renewed in hope that they wanted other people to have that same experience, and so they brought them to Jesus. It was a very new thing, one that turned hopelessness and fear into dignity and possibility. There was something else about what was new about Jesus, something that we hear people saying about him again and again. They lived in a world stocked with religious institutions. The temple, the Pharisees, the scribes, the high priests, it was all an enormous apparatus, something that seemed to want to claim for itself the power of God, because it controlled the way that people had access to the God of their faith. But they kept saying around Jesus, he seems to have authority. Where did he get that authority? Who gave it to him? A new teaching and with authority. And that was a very new thing. It was what confounded all the easy answers and the simple solutions. Yes, Judas, of course it is good to sell what we have and give the money to the poor. But in the gospel, the people here today, we learn it's not the only good thing. It is not necessarily even the greatest good thing. Giving back thanks to God, engaging in the discipline of gratitude, that is something good in itself. If only because when we do it with all our hearts, it leads us on to other higher acts of compassion. So here's the question for our last lap of Lent. Is it just possible that God is doing something similar right in the midst of our own lives, here in our own moment? Look around. Some of our deepest truths are suddenly trembling under our feet. Some of the institutions we thought were, of course, solid and certain have suddenly been shown to be hollow and broken. Here in Rome, we live in the very epicenter of the idea of religious institutions, and none of them seem nearly as permanent or as perfect as we once thought they surely had to be. Just like the people around Isaiah, just like the people around Jesus, we are being confronted with the emptiness of what we thought was real and the fragility of the goodness that we thought would last forever. But that, friends, that is exactly the circumstance in which God acts. These are exactly the moments. This is exactly the moment that we need to be alert and alive to the new thing that God is bringing forth in the world. Whatever it is, if it's anything like the new thing in Isaiah's day or the new thing in Paul's day, it is certain to challenge us with a difficult choice. To hold on to the structures and the tradition that first brought us into faith, or to follow where God is calling us to go, to do what God is calling us to do, to be the body of Christ God is calling us now to be, renewed, reconciled, and reimagined. I cannot claim to know what that new thing is, but I am sure that there is an Easter coming. And I know there is no empty tomb without there first being a cross. Jesus is always doing unexpected things, things that outrage and disrupt and break down and transgress, crazy things, new things. In the midst of all our worry and exhaustion, in this moment of all moments when it feels we just can't even anymore, right in the midst of all of that, a new thing is springing forth. Don't expect it to be comforting. Expect it to be challenging. Expect it to demand something of you, of all of us. And expect it to open our graves. Amen.